I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. I love our Australian fans. They have such a great sense of humor.
And someday we're going to get down there.
Yes, we are. I don't know how.
And do the same to them. No, well, just kidding.
Let's go print us a plane and we'll fly down.
There you go. There you go. And we have Mr. Kermit Weeks with us this morning.
Kermit. Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Thanks for inviting me.
Kermit. Oh, anytime.
Yesterday we heard on the PA system that you have been qualifying in the Martin Marrs. Tell me you had the Kermit cam going.
Oh, my gosh. My video guy was supposed to be with me for about a week up there, and I was like nonstop with three GoPros, so I got a lot of great footage.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's got to be a lot of fun to fly that big airplane.
It's over the top unbelievable. I mean, the effort it takes to keep it going. Just meeting everybody, talking to the mechanics, the flight engineers, the flight crew. It was an amazing experience. You know, they offer that ultimateflyingexperience.com thing where you can actually go do a little bit of training and you could do some flying as well. And I think I got the ultimate flying experience because I was there for 2 weeks and we did four flights while I was there a couple of times. You know, I was just riding in the back when they were getting recurrent. And it was interesting. I think part of their recurrency training is they have to buzz every airport, every seaport, and every ex-Martin Marrs employee that was ever connected to the company. Oh, my gosh. They have such a passion for that airplane on Victoria Island, Port Alberta. You know, it was a great experience.
That's very cool. Now, as part of your training, did you do the whole bit, scoop water, drop water, the whole thing?
I got about four takeoffs and landings, varying things in the left seat and the right seat. I was a co-pilot for some water pickups and some water drops, you know, so it was a fascinating experience. And when you're flying the airplane, you don't realize really how big it is. It just kind of feels, you know, like a normal airplane. It's, you know, the controls are heavy if you try and horse it around, but, you know, just general flying and stuff, it feels normal. I've had an opportunity now to watch it fly twice from the ground yesterday during the show, and it's just like it's a completely different experience from the outside than the inside.
But, well, yeah, it looks like a flying house.
It's like a building, but and it's because it's so big, even though it is moving, it just doesn't look like it's moving.
Yeah. The question I have is, does the CG change when you pick up water?
No, it's pretty much on the CG.
Okay.
And on the Philippine Marrs, which is the other one that potentially they're trying to do a trade with the Navy Museum, that has all the original fuel, which is actually below the waterline. It's at the bottom of the hull. And so in that airplane, they put all the water tanks above the lower deck, okay, which is all the fuels below that. In the Hawaii Marrs that flew yesterday, they actually took about half of the fuel tanks, which normally holds just over 13,000 gallons, U.S. gallons. They made the water tanks out of there. So the yesterday's airplane is a bottom dropper, and the Philippine Marrs, actually the water comes out the side.
Oh, wow.
And when they used to do that, they always liked to hit the fire when they were both flying at the same time. They would hit the fire first with the Hawaii Marrs as a bottom dropper because the density was more. And then they would go in and they would kind of finish it off with the Philippine Marrs because it had a wider swath of rain.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
13,000 gallons, though, and when you stop for fuel, you go out for dinner, have a massage.
You never have to stop for fuel.
I was going to say, I'd hate to see the credit card bill from all that gas, too. That's a lot of fuel.
Well, it is. The reason I got on there is I paid for the fuel tab for the training and bringing the airplane here. So, but trust me, that was a very small amount of what Wayne Coulson and all the people put into that. You know, they were working on that airplane for about 3 months before I ever showed up and they put it in the water. So hats off to Wayne Coulson and the guys for keeping that airplane running and having the willingness to bring it here. The reason it hasn't ever been here before is because it was always on call during the fire season,
right,
which is when Oshkosh is. So they didn't get the contract renewed, and there's some politics going on. The airplane's, you know, they're 70 years old, even though they're in great shape and they blow away any other water bomber flying on the planet right now. We're kind of seeing the end of their, they're going to go into retirement at some point.
Well, it's harder to find people that know how to work on radial engines and all that other stuff.
Yeah, plus parts.
Yeah. Parts are becoming an issue. The specific engine, 3350-24W, they're kind of running out of some parts. There's specific things for that particular 3350. And the propellers are Curtis Electric. They're hollow steel. They actually have like some rubber ribbing inside of them. And if those things let go, you know, the prop blades are becoming a problem. And, you know, yes, you can remanufacture some of that stuff, but then the cost just goes up and up and up and up.
Interesting.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that the Martin Mars was powered by the Pratt & Whitney 4360s.
No. The later ones, they made a model. The Caroline Mars had 4360s. They had the intent after the war they were promoting to do kind of like the ultimate Pan Am Clipper luxury thing. And those were had the intent of 4360s. But the 3350 was the standard.
So that was what we heard yesterday going by. Oh, geez.
So they're not 36 cylinders.
I thought they were the 4360s. Okay, my bad. Sorry, Oshkosh.
Yeah.
What's the range on the airplane?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I do know with 13,000 gallons of fuel, if you did about 330 gallons an hour, divide that, I think that's like over 30 hours in the air.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so, you know, we were truing out. We were up at altitude. We had a little bit of a... Well, even without the tailwind, we were truing out at 11,500 feet at about 180 knots. So you figure 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, for something that big.
Times 30 hours. Yeah. Fly around the world about three times.
Oh, and only stop for fuel once.
That's right.
Yeah. Bathroom stops, different story.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's plenty of room on that airplane. It's not really a cockpit. It's more like a flight deck.
Yep.
And, of course... Austin went with you, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. So I'm here for the rest of the week signing my three children's books in the EA warehouse. You know, last year, Austin, the Ostrich, and the Fantasy Flight just came
right,
out.
The first one
in
came
fact,
out.
In fact, I had paid to ship some over from the printer in China just to get them here because I actually didn't get the delivery of my main books for till later. But since that time, I've already gotten two awards for it. One of them I got for Best Children's Inspirational. And the other one, I think they created a category for me, Best Children's Metaphysical Visionary.
Oh, my goodness. Mean, that's a lot.
That's amazing. So come by and check it out.
That won't even fit on a little plaque tag.
But it's a very powerful book. If anybody has any interest in trying to understand what I'm trying to do with Fantasy of Light, which we're currently working on, my right-hand guy was the lead designer for all the Universal Studio Parks on the planet. I've got some great global people that do theme park design around the world. They love my concept. It's completely out of the box. I'm going to try and create something, a whole new concept in themed entertainment. I mean, I may be one day the next Walt Disney. So you sit back and watch. It's going to be
really
cool.
We knew you win.
The airplane guys are going to be blown away about what I'm going to do. But it's really not about airplanes. Instead of being an end product, which I discovered over 40 years, can never be successful as a paying business. But they will become basically set dressing, back drops as to how we tell our stories that will be common to the human experience. And the rest of the people on the planet that aren't at the Oshkosh Air Show this week, that don't look particularly fascinated with airplanes, they're going to love the concept as well. And I think when they leave the future Fantasy Flight, they're going to go, hey, you know, these old airplanes are pretty cool too. So it's a win-win situation.
What's the timeline on your reopening?
First, I've got to design it. Then I got to figure out how I'm going to pay for it. And I would hope in 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
We definitely want to go down there.
Absolutely.
And Austin will definitely be in. He'll be type-rated as well.
You know, you have a Minion on the back of your motorcycle. Maybe you need Austin on the back.
There you go.
There you go. Or on the front.
Yeah. There you go. You got to have a riding buddy.
He's got plenty of riding buddies, I'm sure.
Yeah, also, too, I want to mention really quickly, the Coulson crew has a trailer and stuff there on the Aerosol Square, or I don't know, whatever square it
Boeing
is.
Boeing Plaza.
Boeing Plaza. Okay, sorry, Boeing. And they're right next to the CAF thing where That's All Brother is. And Susan Coulson wrote a really nice children's book called The Mighty Martin Mars, and they're selling them there. So stop by and say hi to them and... maybe pick up a book.
Sounds good to me.
The Martin Mars in a children's book. That's got to be great.
It's cute, really, really cute.
It's right up my alley. I'm just a big kid at heart.
Of course, all airplane pilots are big kids at heart. That's why we do this.
That's right.
Because it's fun. So
Kermit, what else do you have on the back burner here?
Well, actually, on the front burner, just very quickly, we brought a World War I Albatross up with an original Mercedes engine for the World War I anniversary thing. They've got five airplanes here with original engines. I gave a talk yesterday at 11 o'clock over at the vintage deal. We ran the engine. I think there's a couple of times this week that they're going to run all five of them at the same time at 6 o'clock right after the show. So.
Oh, we definitely want to get down there.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you have your leather cap?
Yeah.
Sure you do. Well, we want to thank you for joining us, Kermit. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.